Today's Shir is Masech the Kedushin Daf Mem Gimel. We will begin on Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Hanich LeBeis Hillel. In the previous Shir, we had begun learning the sugya of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. That one can't appoint a Shliach to do something that's an Aveira and that the Shliach can be considered a Shliach. The Gemara had pointed out that there were two exceptions to that rule. One, the Gemara said, was the din of Mi'ila, that if somebody asks a shliach to do Mi'ila behegdish, the person who appointed the shliach has the aveira of Mi'ila. And the other exception the Gemara identified at the end of the previous year was shlichas yad, that if I was appointed to be a shomer for a pikadon, and then if I misappropriate it for myself, it's considered that I'm no longer a shomer, and the dinim of a shomer don't apply. And they still said it's not only if I do it, but even if I appoint a shliach. So the Gemara said, a concept that we've encountered many times, shnei ksum abroim ke'echod ein melamden. So since we have two psukim in the Torah that say that there is a concept of shlichas l'dvar aveira, why does the Torah have to say it twice? The Torah should say it once. It's a proof that only in these two places where the Torah told us the concept of Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira is the Halacha Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. Everywhere else the Halacha will be Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. Says the Gemara, Hanich L'Beis Hillel, this approach will work according to Beis Hillel, whom, according to him, we've identified two places in the Torah where we say Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. However, ask the Gemara, L'Beis Shammai, as we learned at the end of the Shir, previous year, the Mukmal Alahai Krob and Machshava Kamaisa, that he said that the pasuk about Shlichas Yad isn't to teach us that Shlichas Yad could be accomplished through a Shliach. Rather, the pasuk was teaching us that even if I didn't physically misappropriate it, only if I decided and I verbally pronounced that I'm going to misappropriate it, it's considered Shlichas Yad. So I only have one source that there's a din of Shlichas even with Dvar Aveira. And therefore ask the Gemara, the Nelef Mina, why can't we learn from this one source of Mi'ila for the rest of Halacha, that Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira? And as the Pnei Yeshua points out, the Gemara finds it difficult to accept that Beis Shammai would hold Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. And therefore the Gemara is trying to find a source that even according to Beis Shammai, we should be able to prove Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. Answers the Gemara, because we have another place where the Torah teaches us that Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, and then we could again employ the concept of Shkol Shnei Ksum Abayim Ke'echod Ein Melamdim. What are the two places? Mila, Hadamar, that we just discussed. Tvicha Mechira, what does he mean by that? Says the Gemara, what does the Gemara mean by that? Omakra V'Tavcha Mechara. The Torah speaks about somebody who stole a shor, a seh, axe, or a sheep of someone else, for tafchay mechorei, and he either slaughtered it or sold it, that the halach is that even though normally a ganav pays kefil, double, here he has to pay arbo chamisha, four or five times the value. And the Gemara and the Pasuk puts together tvich and mechira to teach us, ma mechira by definition has to be aydei acher, you have to have a buyer and a seller. Af tvicha, alidei acher, tvicha also is accomplished with another individual, and from here we see that yesh shliach l'dvar aveira. So Mefarshim asked the obvious question. Mechira must be done with somebody else involved. Every sale, by definition, requires a seller and a buyer. But tvicha doesn't require an outside party. The ganef could be the shaychit. So how is the Gemara comparing the two cases? So one teretz that the Rishonim tried to say is that why a ganef should be chayif for mechira extra is a difficult concept. Nothing changes. The animal is still the same animal. So if we see that the Torah says by mechira yechayif, you're certainly chayif by tvicha. However, I don't think that really answers the question. It doesn't speak to the issue that mechira by definition needs another party and tvicha doesn't. So the stipulist says a teretz. The stipler says, by Mechira, who is the more important party? This buyer, not the seller. And it goes back to the concept that we've discussed earlier in Amasakta. Because who does the Maisa Kinyan? The buyer does the Mashicha or the Agbah. So since the buyer is the active participant, and he's not the Ganef, so we see Yeshlich with Varveira, and we say that the same will be by Tficha. That's how the Tanakhama learns this concept. The Beir Shmal Tana, Oi. The Torah uses the words Oi, and the Rabbis is a Shliach. Then not only if the Ganef is the one that shechts the Sharasah, but even if a Shliach is the one that shechts it. The Beir Chizki Tana, Tachas. The Torah uses the extra word Tachas, the Rabbis is a Shliach. And the Mefarshim explain, why do we have here Machloikis Tanoim? How we see, what is the actual source within the halacha of Tficho Mechira, that a shliach is chayiv? The first man that I learned it from, because the Torah puts Tficho Mechira together. The next time, the Beir Shmuel doesn't agree with that. Because he says that we learned the Gemara Masechta Bava Kamma, we'll see that the Torah puts together Tficho Mechira to teach us other dinim. So how do we know? From the word oi. The next Tana, the Beir Chizkiya, doesn't agree with that either. Because he says we need the oi to teach us a different din. We need the oi to teach us that you don't have to have both Tvicha and Mechira to be Chayiv, Arba, V'chamisha. Tvicha alone, oi, or the Mechira alone will be Mechayiv, you, Dal, V'hei. So that can't, so oi can't be teaching us that then. So he says we learn from Tachas. So now, where we're up to is, according to everybody, we have at least two psukim in the Torah that teaches us this concept of Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, and therefore we can apply the rule of Shnei Ksuvim Abraham Kecher Ein Melamdim. Actually, according to Beis Hillel, we now have three. According to Beis Hillel, we have Me'ila, Shlichus Yad, and Tficha Mechira. According to Beis Shammah, we have Me'ila and Tficha Mechira. Ask the Gemara, this all will work. A concept that we explain, that if the Torah wanted this din to apply everywhere, the Torah should have said it only once. Why did the Torah say it more than once? To teach us only where the Torah says that this is the din. So should be the din. Everywhere else it's not. However, ask the Gemara, Elo, Lamand Amma Malamdin, according to the Lamand Amma that says, the fact that the Torah says the same din twice doesn't prevent us from applying it to Kala Torah Kula, Mayikul Meimer. Yes, the Torah teaches us Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira in these two or three circumstances, but why don't we apply it to everywhere else? Answers the Gemara, Goli Rachman B'Shchutei Chutz, because the Torah teaches us in the parish of Shchutei Chutz that Ain't Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. What does Shchutei Chutz mean? Shchutei Chutz means that if I was Magdish an animal, that animal has to be offered on the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. If I bring it outside the Azar, there's a Chiv Karas. And the Pasuk says, Dam Yichoshev L'Ishahu, Dam Shafach, Hu V'Loi Shluchai. Only the person, if I appoint a Shliach to bring my carbon outside the Azar, I won't be Chai for Shchut Echutz. Why? Ain't Shliach L'Dvar Veira. Ask the Gemara, Ashkecham V'Kab Shchut Echutz. Fine. We clearly see that the Torah teaches us by Shechitei Chutz, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. Ask the Gemara, however, that doesn't show us B'chol HaTorah Minolan. How do we know we apply this concept of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira everywhere else? Answers the Gemara, the Yalf Mishchutei Chutz. Because I learned from Shechitei Chutz to all other areas of Halacha, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. Ask the Gemara, Ad the Yalf Mishchutei Chutz, Nelef Mahanoch. The Gemara's question is as follows. On one side, we have the parasha of Shchutei Chutz that teaches us Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. On the other side, we have Mila Tficha Mechira that teaches us Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. So why are we following Shchutei Chutz to be the model? Why don't we follow the other sources to be the model? Answers the Gemara, Hadakos Rechmona, because the Torah repeats in the parasha of Shchutei Chutz, that this person who actually was the one that offered the carbon outside the Azar is the one that's chayiv. Then what's the pasuk teaching us? It's not teaching us the din that we already taught. That's only a person who does the aveira that's chayiv. None one else. So we have a rule, and we have an extra pasuk, and we don't need the pasuk to teach us what the pasuk seems to be saying, because we already know that din. Tenei in Yilcha HaTorah. So saying that for Kol HaTorah Kulo, the extra who comes to teach us that everywhere in Halacha the din is Ein Shtirich L'Dvar Aveira. Ask the Gemara, this is all fine and well if we follow the opinion of Shnei Ksum Abayim Kechem Melamdim. So I need a specific source to teach me Ein Shtirich L'Dvar Aveira. However, ask the Gemara, so if the Torah already teaches us something two or three times, I don't apply it to the rest of the Torah. So it's obvious that ain't shlich l'dvar aveira. So the question is, so I already know ain't shlich l'dvar aveira. Because the fact that the Torah specified that only in these circumstances is the halacha yesh shlich l'dvar aveira, it obviously teaches us everywhere else is ein shlich l'dvar aveira. So I don't need special pasuk by shchut echutz. So why do I have this pasuk? Answers the Gemara. Chad, the first time the Torah mentions the word hahu by the parash of shchut echutz is to teach us shneim oichsim b'sakin v'shoichtim. That if two people shech this carbon together outside the Azara, there is no chiyuv for shchut echutz. And as the Rishonim explain, even though we know in Hilcha Shabbos, shneim shesua, if two people do a malacha Shabbos together, and it's a malacha that each one of us could have done individually, there's no chiyuv, that's a din in Hilcha Shabbos. But everywhere else, there is no p'tur of shneim shesua. Teaches us here, the Gemara, that by shchitas, chutz, the same din applies. That if two people participate together in shechting such an animal, there is no chiyuv for shchut echutz. But the Rishonim go on to explain, that's only regarding the shchita element. The other components, even if two people do together, there is a chiyuv for shchut echutz. The chad, and the other who, comes to teach us hu v'loy onus. If somebody did it because he was forced to do it, then it's not considered shchut echutz. So the Rishonim and Achronim all discuss, we know that our oinus is always potter. So why do I need a pasuk to tell us that our oinus is potter? Of course our oinus is potter. So the Ramban indeed says that the pasuk is not really coming to teach us that our oinus is potter. It's an old concept. It's coming to teach us the other dinim that we're about to learn. However, other Rishonim explain why we need a pasuk to exempt an oinus. One test the Rishonim offer is that there are different circumstances that are considered oinus. And one of the circumstances of oinus is oimer mutter. Somebody says that something's mutter to be done. That's not a real oinus. The oinus that's being exempted here is somebody brings an animal that was designated as a carbon, b'chutz, and he says it's mutter to do it. That needs a pasuk to say it's potter. Another teretz, which is based on what I saw from Chaim Briska, is a fundamental need to understand the concept of oinus rechmona patre. Says Chaim Briska, one is not to understand oinus rechmona patre that if you're in a situation of oinus, you didn't do anything wrong. He says oinus rechmona patre means that it is an aveira. Just the Torah says you're potter in such circumstances. What's the raya? Posh the raya. We know, we've discussed many times by avodah zarah gila raya shvichas tamim. Even if you're oinus, even if you're under duress, not allowed to do the aveira. If oinus is not considered that I'm doing an aveira, why shouldn't I be allowed to do it? So that's why we need a pasuk to teach us that even though the person is an oinus, he's not completely free, and we need a pasuk that in the case of shchut echutz, he is indeed considered potter. Another teretz is a very interesting teretz. The truth of the matter is, every circumstance of shchut echutz, that even if someone violated shchut echutz, he has a way of getting out of it. How does he have a way of getting out of it? By being shoyl on the hegdish. That means, if I have an animal that I designated as a carbon, and now I did a terrible aveira, I offered it outside the azara. So I did a terrible aveira. I have a way of getting out of the aveira. How do I have a way of getting out of the aveira? By retroactively being shoyl on the hegdish, so the animal was never a carbon. I didn't do anything wrong. And that's exactly what happened here. I brought the carbon b'chutz b'oinus, so I should be potter. But I'm not so potter. Why don't I go and be shoyl on the hegdish, and that'll solve all my issues? That I don't want to do. So I'm not so innocent. And that's why the pasuk still tells me that I'm potter. Another, who? V'loy shoygig. And again, the Rishonim ask, shoygig, we know, b'chol ha'tayra kula is patur. So why do I need a limud to absolve the shayig? So the shayim answer, we go back to the pasuk that we read a few moments ago. The pasuk that speaks about shchut echutz says, dam yechoshiv l'eshahu, dam shafach. The Torah compares shchut echutz to murder. By murder, we know, as we just said, there is no exemption of shayig. So I would say there is no exemption of shayig by shchut echutz either. That's why I need a pasuk of ahu. Ahu, says the Gemara, v'lein muta. That if somebody misled me, he gave me an animal, he said it's not kachim, when it really was, or he told me it's mutter, I'm not considered that I did shchut echutz. V'idach, the other man that needs the pasuk of shchut echutz to tell us the concept of ein shlich l'dvar avera, how will he know these dinim? And it says the Gemara, he learns it, hahu hahu, there's an extra hay to teach us these other dinim. V'idach, and the man d'omer that isn't going to need it, hu ahu l'idash, doesn't learn the extra hay. Ask the Gemara, v'har d'tani, we learned in a braisa, ha'ayim l'shluchai, if somebody tells a shliach, say haroig es ha'nefesh, go murder someone, hu chayev, the one that gave the instructions chayev, the shochef potter, the shlich is chayev, the shochef is potter, that's the tanakama, en shlich l'dvar veira. Shama Zakir Aimer, however Shama disagrees. He says Mishum Chaga Noya, Navi Shocha Chayev. The person that gave the instruction is Chayev. Shunema Oysa Harakta Becher Bnei Amon. The Pasuk teaches us in Shmuel Beis. We remember the story where David HaMelech wanted to marry Bathsheba. And Bathsheba was already married to Uriah Hiti. And David gave instructions to his general Yoav, that he should send Uriah Hittite to battle in the front, with the most dangerous place, where he'll end up dying. And that's what happened. Like that, David HaMelech was able to marry Bathsheba. Nosson HaNavi then comes to David HaMelech and says to David HaMelech, you did the wrong thing. He gives him Musar. And he calls, and the pasuk says, Oysa harak de becher b'nei amon. It's considered as if you murdered him. David HaMelech didn't murder him. But since David HaMelech put him into that situation, it's considered as if he murdered him. So we see, Yei Shliach L'Dvar Avera. So sort of Mefarshim ask, we're going to discuss now the opinion of Shammai Zaken. And Shammai Zaken teaches us that if someone gives instruction to a Shliach to murder someone else, he's Chayiv. Ask many Mefarshim. We've learned many times as a concept that you can never be Chayiv for an Avera unless you get a Asra. What does Asra mean? That I warn the person, if you're going to do this Aveira, you're going to get this Einish. Here, by definition, it's a Hasra Sofik. Because it's not the person who's doing the act, it's the Shliach who's doing the act. So why is it considered that he did, that the Meshaleach should be Chayiv? There's no Hasra. So I saw a number of answers to this question. One answer to the question is that indeed the Meshaleach would not be Chayiv a regular Misa, because there wasn't the real Asra. What the Gemara is referring to situation is that the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin that let's say somebody did an Avera B'mezid, but there was a technical difficulty, there was a technical disqualification of the Hasra, then the Asra is not Asra. And that's, so then the din is that we don't murder him because he didn't technically do the Avera. We put him into a keeper and let him die there. And that's what the Gemara means. Not that the Meshaleach would really be Mechayiv Misa. He would be put into the keeper. That's another Behuda's Teretz. Another Teretz is, what's Pshat Hasros? Why are we saying it's a Hasros Sofik? Because if I tell you to go murder, who says you're going to do what I said? But let's say you're a person who's completely subservient to me. And whatever I tell you, you do, then it's not Hasros Sofik. And that's the case over here. A third Teretz that the Pre-Yitzchak suggests is as follows. He says that if I tell you to do something and you don't know it's wrong, you think it's mutter, there's no reason to believe you're not going to do it. And that's the case here where you did it thinking that it was mutter, and that's why it's not as Asra Sofik. Ask the Gemara, my time of the Shammai Zaken. So Mefarshim asked, why is the Gemara looking for a reason for Shammai Zaken? Shammai Zaken just gave us a reason. He quoted the pasuk by David HaMelech. So we understand why Shammai holds Yesh Lich L'Dvar Veira. So I saw two answers to the question. One answer is, as we're going to learn in a couple of moments, there's another way of explaining that pasuk. So that pasuk can't really be a hard and fierce source. Another pshat is that that's a pasuk in Navi. We don't learn halachic concepts from a pasuk in Navi. So the Gemara is seeking, how does Shammai Zaken know from that Torah that Yesh Lich L'Dvar Veira? My time of the Shammai Zaken answers the Gemara, because Shammai Zaken is of the opinion that Shksav Shnei Ksum Abayim Kechem Melamdim. So Me'ila and Tvich Mechira could now serve as a source for Kol Torah Kula. We had the Pasuk of Ahu by Shchut Echutz, Ahu Lo Yidarsh. Says the Gemara, V'Bai Seima. Another way of understanding Shammai's opinion is La'olam Darsh. He does learn Hahu. And he does hold Ein Shlich L'Dvar Aveira. So what does he mean, Chayef? What does Shammai mean when he says that if somebody gives instructions to someone else to kill someone else, he's Chayef? Doesn't mean he's Chayef, as if he actually did the Aveira. He's Chayef B'din Shmai. Says the Gemara, Mechlal. If that's the way we're going to understand Shammai Azokin's opinion, obviously, Tanakama Sover, I feel Medina Shemayim Nami Potter. That he's not even Chayiv Medina Shemayim. Because the Tanakama is even more lenient. But that's not true. We learned already in the previous year that even if we hold Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, if I instruct somebody to do something wrong, I'm not totally innocent. Answers the Gemara, Eladina Rabbi Vedina Zut Ikebenaya. The Nafkamina between Shammai Azok and the Tanakama is that they both hold Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. They both hold the Bedine Adam, if somebody gives such instruction, he's excluded. And they both hold the Bedine Shemayim is Chayiv. The Machloika says, how far is he going to be B'chayiv Bedine Shemayim? According to the Shammai Zaken, there's a Dina Rabbah, he'll get a severe punishment. According to Tanakama, Dina Zuta will be a lesser punishment. The Rishonim want to explain that according to Shammai Zaken, he'll be mechuyev misa b'day Shemayim. Tanakama won't be so strict. V'boy Seima, Shani Hosom, the Gola Rachmon Oisa Harakta b'mecher b'nei Aman. Shammai Zaken holds that that's a specific situation where the Torah specifically says that David HaMelech was chayev. V'idach, the Tanakama, what is he going to do with this pasuk of Oisa Harakta b'mecher b'nei Aman? Answers the Gemara, he will explain that pasuk this way. I'm treating you like Bnei Amon. What does that mean? He just explains the pasuk just to the opposite. What Nosan Anavi was telling David, if Bnei Amon kill people, you're not going to be held responsible. Af Uriachiti. Similarly, if Uriachiti does something wrong, even if the murder of Uriachiti, Why would the Tanakhama say that David HaMelech is so innocent? The way we explained the story earlier, David HaMelech wasn't so innocent. Answers the Gemara, my Tama, why is David HaMelech so innocent? Married by Malchus Hava. Because Uriachita was somebody who rebelled against the king, and somebody who rebels against the king is Chayiv Misa. Where do we see that he was married by Malchus? The commonly, because Uriachita said, V'adoyni Yoyev v'chol avdei adoyni apnei asod d'choynim. And as Rashi explains, he was speaking to Yoyev. Yoyev was the general. And to call Yoyev, the general, Adoni, my master, in the presence of David, is disrespectful to David, and that's why it's considered married by Malchus. Tysus asks Rashi, if I'm speaking to the king's assistant, the king's general, in front of the king, I'm showing respect to the general, I'm in essence showing respect to the king. So why is that called Merida B'Malchus? So Taisus gives two different terutzim. One terutz, Taisus says, is because he addressed Yoyev before he addressed the king. Adoni Yoyev, v'adoni HaMelech. You shouldn't speak to Yoyev before you speak about the king. Disrespectful. Another pshat, Taisus says, is that David HaMelech had actually told Uriah Hachiti to go home. And Uriah Hachiti said, I can't go home when there's a battle going out and everybody's out at the front. And that was disrespectful. The king gave you an order and you're not accepting the order. That's why it was called a Merida Malchus. Amarava. Imtem tzulam shavu shamai. Shnei ksum abayim ke'echad melamdim. If we're going to hold that Shammai holds, shnei ksum abayim ke'echad melamdim. Ve'hu ahu lo'idarish. And therefore, Shammai HaZokin is of the opinion that the Chora Torah, Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, even he will agree that in certain circumstances, we say Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. What would be that situation? If somebody tells a Shliach, Tzrei Ba'ol Sarva, have relations with a woman that you're not allowed to have relations with, or a Chora Sechelev, eat non-kosher food, that everybody, even the man, the Omer, even Shammai HaZokin holds Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira will agree here Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. Shu Chayv that the Shliach is Chayv the Shocher Parta. Shlomo Tzimmer Kol HaTorah Kula Zeh Nenu V'Zeh Mes Chayv. And the way the Mefarshim, the Shalos HaTshuvos Oinig Yontif, explains the Gemara very beautifully. He says there are two types of Averas. Sometimes an Avera involves doing an Avera. Torah says don't do it and he does it. Sometimes the Avera is not the act, but the pleasure that is derived from the Avera. Says the Oinig Yontif, when we have a discussion, Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, that's only regarding an Avera of the, where the Avera is the act. However, where the Avera is the pleasure, like Chelev, or Arayas, there everybody will agree that it can't be that somebody else is having the pleasure and I should get the Avera. And actually, he says it goes the other way too. Why does it go the other way? He says, by mitzvahs, we have the same type of situation. Sometimes the purpose of the mitzvah is that something should be accomplished, and sometimes the purpose of the mitzvah is the act of the mitzvah. When we speak about doing a mitzvah, accomplishing a mitzvah through a shliach, is where something has to be accomplished. But when I have to do something, then I can't use a shliach. Therefore, nobody would suggest that somebody put on tefillin for me. Or nobody would suggest that somebody could do dalamina for me, because it's an act that I have to do. So now Tosfos and Rishonim have a fundamental discussion. We're saying now that wherever the person who's doing the Avera has the enjoyment, there we certainly hold Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. One of the examples, we learned already in the end of yesterday's shir, and discussed them in today's shir, of Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera, the Torah teaches us Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera, is by Me'ilah. What does Me'ilah mean? That there's something that's Hegdish, and I tell you to use it. But you're enjoying, you're having the Hanah. So why does the Mishnah say that I'm Oiva the Avera? So the Machlokes Rishonim how to answer this question. Some Rishonim indeed suggest that the only time that the instructor is chai by Me'ilah is in a situation where the Shliach didn't have Hanah. But if indeed the Shliach had Hanah, it's like Chelev and Arayus, and the Halach would be Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, even by Me'ilah. Other Rishonim say that Zegzeis HaKosef, that the Torah told us by Me'ilah, we always apply the concept of Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, even if the Shliach is the one that has the Hanah. Itma. So now the Gemara discusses another situation. Shliach Nasa Eid. Could somebody who's a Shliach also be an Eid? The simplest case is, let's talk Masechta Kedushin. I asked somebody to be a Shliach on my behalf, to be Mekadosh and Isha. Could this individual also act as an Eid? So we have a Machlokes here. Rav says, Shliach Nasa Eid, he could be both a Shliach and Eid. The Bei Rav Shila Amri and Shliach Nasa Eid. He can't be an Eid. My time the Bei Rav Shila asked him, what's his reason? Elay Mishum the Amalei Havali Eid, because I didn't officially appoint him to be an Eid. Is that required? Elam Ata, Kiddush Ishi B'fnei Shnayim. Says to him, what would be the halacha if someone was Mekadosh and Isha in front of two individuals? V'loy Amalehem Atam Eidai. But he never appointed them to be Eidim. Hachanami do have a Kedushi. So the fact that he wasn't appointed shouldn't make a difference. However, the Ritva and other Rishonim qualify this din in a very serious manner. Because the Gemara is saying now that to be an Eid for Kedushim, you don't have to be appointed. You just have to see. But there are two exceptions that the Rishonim point out. One is that even though the Eidim don't have to be appointed, the husband and wife have to be aware that there are Eidim watching. Otherwise, they're going to say, we never really meant to get married because we didn't see any Eidim here. So that means, say to Rishonim, let's say you have a chosen being Mekadosh Shekala, and there are two Eidim standing behind the tree, behind the fence, and they're not aware of them, that would not be considered a situation of Eidim. The other issue that the Ritva brings up is very relevant by every wedding we attend. The halacha is, if there are a number of people witnessing an event, and some of those individuals are disqualified Eidim, the relatives. So halacha is then the entire group becomes disqualified. So when we come to a wedding, so that Baruch Hashem, a lot of close relatives standing by the wedding, and they're postulating, parents, grandparents, brothers, sisters. So what is the Masada Kedushin supposed to do under those circumstances? And this is what the Masada Kedushin do. They appoint the two Edim who are not relatives, and they say, you are Edim to the exclusion, he's Meyachad the Edim, you are Edim to the exclusion of everyone else. So even though says the Ritva, Al-Gemar says that Edim Kedushin do not need specific appointment, that's when there's no one else there. But if they apostle Edim, then specific appointment is required. Another case, the Rashi points out, not regarding Kedushim, where specific appointment of Edom is required, everybody will agree, is the following circumstance. Let's say you come over to me and you say, you know, you owe me $1,000. I say, yeah, you're right. And then you have two Edom. So I heard that they say that they go to Bezin, they say they heard that I admitted that I owe you $1,000. If they weren't specifically appointed to be Edim, I would not be Chayiv. Because I could say, I just said it, Mishatanibach, I said it because I was playing games with you, I wanted to get you off my back, and there everybody will agree that the Edim have to be appointed. El Rav Amar, Shlich Nasei, we go back to the original Machloikis, a Rav and Beirav Shela. What's the basis of the Machloikis? Rav says, Shlich Nasei, Alume Kol Limna Lemilsei. If I make you a shliach, you certainly could be an aid. I'm only strengthening your position. The Beir Shalai Amri ain't shliach nas aid. Kivin Amar shlucha shlanim kamaisai havelik kagufei. By making you a shliach, it's like me, and just like I can't be an aid for my transaction, neither can be my shliach. So I saw really the Mefarshim give two ways of understanding this machlokes, two beautiful explanations. Davne Meluim quotes a Rivash that says as follows. We all know that a Nogeya Bedover, somebody that has partial, that somebody has an involvement, is possible to be an aid. The Machloikas between Rav and Rav Shela, and Rei Rav Shela explains the Rivash, is what is the definition of a Nogeya Bedover? According to Rei Rav Shela, anybody who's involved in the act is a Nogeya Bedover. So if you're a Shliach, you're a Nogeya Bedover. Rav says, Negei B'dov doesn't mean that you're involved. That you have something to gain or lose here. The Shliach has nothing to gain or lose. So even though you're a participant, doesn't make you into a Negei B'dov. That's the way the Rivash explains the Machlaikis. Dar Sameach explains the Machlaikis differently. He says the question between Rav and Rav Shela is how do we view a Shliach? Do we view a Shliach only as the one that accomplishes what the Meshaleich wanted to accomplish? Or do we view the shliach as the person who's really an extension of the mishaleach? If we view him as the extension of the mishaleach, so if the mishaleach is possible, he's possible. If we only view him as the person who's accomplishing the goal, but he's not really an extension of the mishaleach, then he would not be chayiv. Which is really relevant to another machloikis rishonim of the Rambam and the Tor. What would be the halacha if a husband writes a get for his wife, and gives it to a shliach to deliver to his wife, and before he actually delivers it, he never becomes a shaita? Could the shliach still deliver the get? If we view the shliach as an extension of the mishaleach, so he can't. That's the opinion of the Torah. If we ever view the shliach only to accomplish something, but he's not an extension of the shliach, he would be able to give a get. And indeed, the Rambam holds the midaraisa, the get would be a good get. It's only problem midrabonim. The Mefarshim also discuss, here we see how strongly the halacha connects the shliach to the mishaleach. However, the Mefarshim caution us to remember what we learned at the beginning of this parak, that the halacha is mitzvah boy yoytzim b'shluchai. Even though the shliach is mamish, the Gemara says kegufai, it's not the same as you doing the mitzvah yourself. However, the Paiskim do say there is one case that the Paiskim want to suggest that the shliach, or somebody who's kegufay, it's equally if he or I did the mitzvah. Where is that then? By ishtei kegufay. And I saw where it's relevant in two areas of halacha. We know that the highest level of tzedakah is matan b'seisr, to give tzedakah anonymously. So what's the halacha if I'm giving tzedakah anonymously, but I tell my wife? is it considered matan b'seiser? The Paiskum say, since ishtik gufay, it's considered matan b'seiser. Another place where I saw it's relevant is in Hilchas Chanukah. Our minig is ner ishu b'seiser, that every member of the family lights their own Chanukah menorah. Yet in most communities, we don't find that the husband and the wife both light Chanukah menorah, even if all the children, all the other members do. Why? Because since ishtik gufay, so my lighting and her lighting is all the same. Neisvei asked the Gemara, Om l'shleisha. If somebody said to three in the shlichim, Tzu v'kitchali yisa isha, go be mekadosh nisha on my behalf. So echad shlich, once it serves as a shliach, v'shneim edim, divrei beis shammai. V'yisela oimrim, kulam shluchim heim, all of them are considered shlichim, and ein shlich nasa eid. Ask the Gemara, ad kan l'pligi, the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is limited to three. So one could be the shliach and two could be edim. And from here, Imre Moshe says that a shliach is considered a shliach even if he doesn't do anything. As soon as he's appointed to be a shliach, he's considered a shliach. Ab b'shnayim, if I only had two individuals, the rakol loy. Why? Because ain't shliach asa eid. Answers the Gemara. Who the Amar? Ram is going to follow the opinion of this Tana, the Tana of Nas Aimer, but Shammai is Shliach ve'ed Echad, that even if there's a Shliach in one aid, it's good enough. Or Beisela Aimer Shliach v'shnei aidim. Ask the Gemara, even if you're saying that a Beishamai says that a Shliach always could be an aid, does that mean that Rav is tasking like Beishamai? Says the Gemara, Epech. We have to reverse the opinions of Beisela and Beishamai, and Rav is saying Beisela's opinion. Rav Achabredi, Rav Masni Ipcha. Rav Achabredi, Rav says differently. Rav Omer, Rav is the opinion, Ein Shlich Nasaid, which will coincide with Beis Hillel's opinion. The Beir of Shammai, the Beir of Shila, on the other hand, hold Shlich Nasaid, and that's the opinion of Beis Shammai. However, says the Gemara, even according to the Lislias explanation, that it's Beis Shammai that holds Ein Shlich Nasaid, the halacha is indeed that a Shlich can be an aid. Omer Rav Omer of Nachman, following the same subject. If somebody asks two shlichim to mekadosh nisha on his behalf, is the halacha heinein shluchav, they could serve as the shlichim, and heinein edav, they could also serve as the edim. V'chein begerishin, so would be the halacha begerishin, v'chein bedeinim mamonis, and so would be the halacha bedeinim mamonis. Ask the Gemara, why does the Gemara have to teach us the same rule three times? Kedushin, gerishin, dinim mamonis. Says the Gemara, Tzricha. It had to be mentioned by each case separately. The Yashmin B'Kedushin, if I would say that the Shlichim can also be trusted as Edim regarding Kedushin, Shindel Nesukasi. By the Shlichim coming and saying that this woman is now an Eshesish, they're only making that woman also to themselves. She's now a married woman. So certainly they should be believed. Ava Gerushin, but by Gerushin, Shem Nechish, we should be concerned that, you know why the Shlichim are saying that she's divorced? Because Shem ain't of Nusimba. They maybe want to marry her. So it's to their benefit to say she's divorced when she isn't divorced. So the Mepharshim asked, the Rishonim asked two questions. We have two people saying she's divorced. And why are we saying is the Gemara's concern that they want to marry her? They both can't marry her. A woman can only marry one man. Say, the Rishonim, each Shliach thinks that she's not going to want to marry him. Another question is, if we always have this concern, that the shlichim are saying that the woman is divorced when she's indeed not divorced, and they're only saying it because they want to be able to marry her, so then how can we ever trust Edim who come and say that a woman is divorced? Why should we not be concerned that they're saying it because they want to marry her? So Rishonim answer, there's a difference in this situation versus any other situation. When there's two Edim walking in and saying that a woman is divorced, why shouldn't we believe them? People are honest. Here, since they're shlichim, so they feel that there's someone in control, and they therefore may say something which isn't actually true, and that's why we have to be concerned. V'yashminin, gerushin, but if we speak about gerushin, as we just said, but gerushin we have it's not really a strong concern, because they both can't marry her. So why would some, mishum de'itisil lebe treiler chazir, avol memayna, why would be the din like this? I owe you money, and I ask two shlichim to please go give you the money on my behalf. Why? And Nadagmar is saying, we trust them. Why do we trust them? Avim Maina, Ema, why should we not be concerned? Hani Mifli Polik. Maybe these two shlichim took the money I sent, divided it between themselves, and now they come and say I pay. That's why Tzrich, we have to tell you that even by Mominus, these two people who were appointed to be shlichim are also believed as Eidim. Says the Gemara, let's analyze this a little further. My kesover, what does this Tana hold? I kesover, hamal b'chaver b'eidim, tzorach l'far b'eidim. There is a machloikis in Masecht of Basra that if I lend you money in front of Eidim, you should only pay me back in front of Eidim. Why is that the din? So some say, if I only lent you money in front of Eidim, obviously I don't trust you. So that means you have to pay back in front of Eidim. Others say, if I'm a person that's suspicious, and everything has to be written, has to have Eidim, then you have to treat a person like that, and everything has to be with Eidim. And indeed, the Shulchan Aruch says that the right thing to do is whenever you lend money to somebody, you should lend it in front of Eidim. In fact, the Rishonim already, and the Achrayim, all discuss very much why we're not makbid on this thing, why we're not careful that when we lend somebody money, we should do it in front of Eidim. Certainly, the Rishonim and Achrayim say that if there's a shtar, if there's a document, it's good enough. But let's say sometimes money is lent without a document, and without Eidim, it only can lead to a lot of disappointment. So, ikas of amav chaver be'edim, tzorach l'far be'edim, says the Gemara, hani noigim be'edis. So then, di shlichim noigim be'edis minu. Di amra loy prani, if they're going to say that, if the malva comes and says, I never got paid back, omelhu prani, we're going to have to make him pay again. So the shlichim have something on the table. So there is no read for Eidim. Since the Shlichim could say, you know what, we decided not to do the Shlichus, we gave back the money to Leiva, that's why we also trust them when they say Prina L'malva. However, says the Gemara, the hash to the Tukun Rabban and Shvuz Hesus, Mishtabai Eidim, the Yavnalei, or Mishtabai Malva the way Shokalei, or Parallel Leiva L'malva. Which means as follows. Midaraisa, a shvua only has to be taken by moedra mitzvah. That means, if I say you owe me money, and you say you don't owe me any money, and you say you owe me part of the money, you have to make a shvua. Let's say you say, I don't owe you anything, you part of. Chazal made a din of shvuas hesus. Shvuas hesus means that even in a case where I claim that you owe me money and you deny the entire, you have to make a shvua. So now in this case, the halacha would be that the Eidim would have to make a shvua. Why would the Eidim have to make a shvua? So Rashi brings down a Gemara. The Gemara of Masechta the Shvuos of Chenveni. The case of a Chenveni is as follows. I have workers, and I tell the Chenveni, you pay the workers, and I pay you. The workers come and say, they never got their salary. And the Chenveni comes and says, he paid the salary, and I have to pay him back what he laid out for me. The halach is that I can make both the chenveni and the workers swear. Similarly here, if the malva says he didn't get paid, and the edim say that they paid him, they all have to swear. So that's why they're certainly considered noigin the edis, and that's why shlichim, under this circumstances, everybody will agree, are not kosher to be edim.